if I'd speak tonight. I says, "You sure?" I says, "You want to take that gamble?" He says, "Well, I'm going to bring in a couple buckets of tomatoes." And so they're staged around here somewhere, but I know where the exits are. So, but anyway, a little bit about me and the wife. I can really almost consider this like a mission field. In a way, as missionaries, how you become, go to a foreign, an area where you did not grow up. And it's like culture shock. And even though we haven't been here almost 2 years, we lived in Maryland for almost 50 years. I grew up in Texas. My wife grew up in Massachusetts. For those that talk, spoken, listened to my wife, you know she's not from around here. But we lived in Maryland for about 50 years before moving down here. And I understand that people are people. Everywhere you go, people are needing a Savior. I don't know exactly, and for a long time didn't know exactly why God brought us down here. We had all our human ingredients, you know, set in place, all the dominoes lined, stacked up. But it was a start, stop, go, stop, go, stop, stop, you know, procedure for almost 20 years before God brought us down here, allowed us to come down here, and close the door behind us. But anyway, I know it's a little different down here and further south than it is up on the mountain. We live up in Woodlawn up near Galax, and it's different. And people do things differently, and I understand that. So, I mean, I don't mean to be offensive anything I say or we do. We're just trying to acclimate. And to see where God would have us fit. And this is a good fit as far as I'm concerned, as far as a church family. So anyway, the rest of it, you'll just have to wait for another time if there ever is. 67 years ago. Oh, wait a minute, wrong page. For those that grasp that, I'm not high tech. I'm a low tech redneck. I've got things on paper, and I got it with ink. And some of it's highlighted. Some of it I can see. Some of it I can't. And the more I have looked over these notes for tonight, the more it gets added onto it. So don't be distracted. And we'll get you out of here before 10. Maybe. But I want you to find your way as I continue to talk to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to talk about the promises of God. Some of the promises of God. And I had that first hymn that we sang, congregational, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. That is so, it's seemingly elementary. And this is a very simple message. This is very basic, you know, what we get into, what we'll spot, you know, touch upon tonight. And there's nothing new under the sun. We understand that, you know, Ecclesiastes, you know, mentions that. But as you've experienced, if you've been saved, you've been hearing the Word of God any amount of time, you know, nothing's new. Maybe a little different spin. Maybe they use a different crayon on it. But it's nothing's new under the sun. But God can take something that you may have heard over and over and over again, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, a little different light comes on. So we're going to be talking about some of the promises of God tonight. You know, God has many promises from book of Genesis all the way to Revelation. But let's start. I'm going to read chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, if I may, please. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, God speaking to Adam, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That's a promise of God. And there's some other things that may come to mind. But before we go, we need to ask God's direction. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would just help in this time that we have together. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would have free reign in hearts and lives. May we listen on purpose. May we live on purpose to glorify Christ. Bar this, the forces of hell from this place, that there not be interference. And Lord, truly, what be said would be an honor to Christ. In His name I pray. Amen. And we think about some of the different promises, and I'm sure that many of you are probably mulling over different things right at the moment. Some of the different promises that God has. One of them, Jordan had made a comment as far as salvation, and we'll touch upon that here in a moment. But that's a rich promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, it's a promise, shall be saved. There's another promise we find that God speaks about in the book of Genesis that came to my mind in chapter 12, and the first three verses of that, it says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." That's a promise that God gave unto Abraham that is available unto us all. But as he's gone through the written word of God, he's given us promises, things that we can stand upon. We can be secure upon. It's like in my current endeavor, my building project, we're still in the process of building, of finishing up our house, and not to try to gain tears or whatnot. That's not the case by any means. Our general contractor, he quit on us, and before things were done, and so we're finishing up. But anyway, so we're doing a lot of extra things. So right now I'm doing a retaining wall, another retaining wall, with 6x6 timbers, and I'm backfilling it, but I'm having to make things to be put an anchor onto it so that because there's no flat ground up there. You know, I came from Southern Maryland where we're like 50 feet off the sea level. I mean, we're like, yeah, there's no hills. It's a contrast. It's like culture shock in more than one way. So I had to put an anchor on the back of this thing to assure that when if the dirt were to move, to shift, but gravity does take over after a while, that it doesn't bow. It's anchored back in that hillside. We need to be steadfast. We need to be anchored. We need to be secure. We need to be steadfast, standing on the promises of God. I can't repeat it enough. And as we go through this evening, hopefully that will bear record. John chapter 10. If you can keep up, please do. If not, just pretend like you're at John chapter 10. I don't use paper clips. I don't have an iPad. So all these things are, and my left hand is gimpy. So I'll give you a head start. In John chapter 10, verse 28, let's back up a little bit. "And my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Never. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." That is a great standing on the promise. You know, there's many, I grew up in a different religious society where you didn't have that security. You had to do certain things to maintain salvation, a right standing with God or favor with God. And that's not what the Bible teaches. I can stand fast. You can stand fast as the petition's already been made that if you're not a child of God, you don't know for sure that heaven is your home, that is your eternal abode. You can know. But if you, as you put your faith, as you believe in Christ as your substitute, you can know you'll never lose it. You'll never, he says that, what was that again? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you can lose it, then it's not eternal. If you can lose it, then there's something greater than He. Ain't happening. 1 John chapter 5, if you will. He that hath, verse 12 says that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13 is what we want to focus on. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not up here just to take up space. It's not just ink and paper or whatever you may have, papyrus, or you may have, you know, sheepskin or tablets. Whatever it may be. I'm talking about clay tablets. You got to be so specific these days. Anyway, but he says that these things that I have written unto you that you may know. That you may have it established, that you may have it secure, that you may be steadfast. You know, and I know that I have dealt with people, and as far as their security of their salvation, and this is a great verse to take them to. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, don't have to turn there. Just another thing as far as a promise of God. It says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise of God. Another one we can look at, and one of my favorite portions of Scripture, I don't have some people have a life verse. That's fine if you do. I don't. Romans chapter 8. Where'd they put Romans? You laugh. Wait till you get old. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it says that who shall separate us from the love of God or from the love of Christ? And it goes on a different listing there. And I'll tell you, that is a rich promise that, you know, when things come into my life, and sometimes they may be big, maybe devastating, maybe heart-wrenching. Maybe we could go down the list of adjectives. Nothing can separate. If there's something that can separate me from the love of Christ, then that means my salvation is not eternal. Simple. I'm not the brightest bulb on a tree. I got that. I understand that. It took me a while, but, you know, it caught up. But there are certain things that I can grasp. And that's clear to me. That's one of my favorite portions of Scripture, is this last bit of Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. That's a rich promise of God. And we find that relationship, as already made mention in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It tells us that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not a hope so, not a maybe. I don't know. And I know you encounter many different people through your daily life or different ministries, different opportunities that you have. You can know it beyond all shadow of a doubt. And when our family was younger, I remember an incident. I don't remember the details. You asked the wife, she could tell you. We promised that we would do something, and it was not possible. I don't know what happened. Again, she could recite that because we talked about it just recently. But we had promised that we would do such and such. Well, we weren't able to, and so the kids, they got a real twisted attitude. But you promised. We physically weren't able to, whether it was job-related, health-related, vehicle broke down, I don't remember. But we were not able to fulfill that promise. Well, we caught such grief from that point. We said, from then on, if something were to be formulated, a plan to go or do, it was like, we'll see. We'll see. Because we don't know. You know, as James chapter 4 tells us that, you know, it's like, before you know what you ought to say, you know, sometimes we catch on slowly after the fact. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. You know, but we didn't know any better. And we said, oh, yeah, sure. But none. After that, it's like, we'll see. So then after a while, you know, I remember one time son came, he came up to me and wanted something to go someplace. I don't remember what it was. And I said, we'll see. And he got an attitude. I said, what's the problem? He says, that means no. You totally missed it. But anyway, regardless of that situation, we know that certain things, again, getting back to the Bible, those are promises that God will uphold. He doesn't have to say, we'll see. You know, depends on how you act. And promises that God has mentioned, you know, and demonstrates and shows us through His Word, some of them are conditional on what we do or what we don't do. Some of them are just because who He is. So we want to look at another promise tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Pastor Crotty alluded to this, or a portion of this, Sunday. First Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. There is no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God, who is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I see three promises in this verse. First of all, I see that promise. There's a promise that temptations are coming your way. It's a promise. There are no temptation taking you but such as common demand. It's something that is not extraordinary, not something extraterrestrial. It is something that is common, that is commonplace to each and every one of us. It may be a thought. It may be a deed. But the temptation, they're coming. Sometimes they manifest themselves through other people, other events. Sometimes, it's our thought life. But God tells us that the promises, or the temptation, excuse me, He says, I'm promising you, they're coming. But such as common demand. What about Jacob and Esau? You know, Jacob and Esau had a wonderful relationship. And Jacob was cooking some chili one day. And Esau had gone out in the field, and he came back, and he was, I'm starving. No, he's not. But anyway, he thought he was. And he ended up selling his birthright for a bowl of chili. He was tempted. And he gave in to that temptation. Of course, Jacob, you know, he capitalized on that one. But he gave away something that was certainly eternal, an eternal blessing that he just surrendered. God does not tempt us. We need to realize that God's not the author of temptation. And James, in chapter 1, let me look over there real quick. Because I've got a few verses starting with verse 13. Bless you. James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's no sin in temptation, in being tempted. You know, I don't have to do 10 years of penance just because I was tempted in something. The problem comes is when we submit to it or we succumb to it. Sometimes it's we do it unknowingly or just because of repetition. Or we, as humans, many times, we like to categorize. Maybe not you. We pigeonhole. We've got a spreadsheet for that's not a big thing. That's not a big sin. You know, that's just minute. You know, and we got these other areas over here that have got bigger holes, bigger compartments. We don't have to. Sin. It's going to keep you away from it, keep you out of fellowship with God. But God says, I'm not the author of it. I'm not the one that originates. I'm not the one that brings it into your life. Sometimes we bring it in our own selves, but you can count it down. It's the devil that's the author. Count it. You know, that battle is ongoing each and every day. And it's not letting up until we go to glory. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it tells you what? Many of it's a very familiar verse. For all things work together. No. Yes. For all things work together for them that love God, for them that are called according to His purpose. Anything that comes into your life is for your good and God's glory. And it doesn't come into your life without His, if you will, His authority, His authorization. You know, I'm sure that Job, you know, he wondered. It's like, why, you know, why this? Why me? You know, even though those words aren't recorded as such. But the devil wasn't able to touch his life if it wasn't for God's permission. All things work together. Now, I don't have, for the good, I don't have them on. I can't wear them anymore, and they've been long gone. A pair of boots, Western boots, that were they were handcrafted. They fit my feet like and wouldn't they would they like no one else's. If Greg and I wore the same size shoe, which I don't think we do, but even if we did, let's pretend. And if I were to take that boot off and give it to him, it would not fit right. It wouldn't, because it fit my foot. It's the same way with things in God. As God is instructed, or God or temptations, if you will, but that's the subject matter. But anything in your life as a child of God, it's handpicked just for you. See, and you know, when we read through the Bible, we read about what comes to mind is like with Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah. God tells him that to sacrifice the son. I'm sure that there's all kinds of thoughts running through his head. It's like, why? You know, what's going on? And da da da. God knew Abraham's heart. God knew it from before he ever mentioned to him. Abraham didn't. And Abraham didn't realize Abraham's faith in God until after the fact. Until he was willing to obey and to follow through. They're handcrafted. Temptations that are going to come your way. I'm guaranteeing it. Maybe tonight. Maybe tomorrow, doesn't matter. They're coming your way. Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14, we won't go through there, but it says that He knoweth our frame. He knows what you're all about. He knows what your composition, physically, mentally, spiritually, you know. But again, it's not who's the source of the temptation? It's not God. And He knows your weakness. He knows, you know, you leave that door propped open a little bit. You can see light. Now, you may think those doors are shut, but I can see light all the way around them. He knows where the cracks are, and He'll capitalize on them. You know, there was a show many years ago where there's a comedian by the name of Flip Wilson. He had a very famous, this is before your time, goodness. And he had a saying that was very popular way back once upon a time. It says, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do it. The devil may have presented it to you. He may have presented it to you in a very lovely fashion. But it was your choice. And that's my choice. But if I'm standing on the promises of God, I'm standing to stand fast on His promises, when those things come along, I can say, get thee behind me, Satan, and move forward for Him. Not only do we have that, we also have the temptation, if you will, the promise of temptation is not overwhelming. The promise, and we see here in verse 13 again, 1 Corinthians 10, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. What's the next phrase? But God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. I was going to sing it, but my voice is wrecked. You wouldn't want that. But anyway, we know that God is faithful in all that He says and does. You know, the temptations are coming your way. Temptations are not overwhelming. It's not so much that, oh, I can't bear this, so you succumb to it. God knows what you're capable of. He knows your frame, as Psalm 103 says in verse 13 and verse 14. We know that in Lamentations chapter 3, that it tells us that God is faithful. This is very basic, very simple, very elementary, but we need to be reminded many times, I do, that God's faithful. God, His mercies are new every day. And as a child of God, I can draw great assurance because of that. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. Is it yours? This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Do we? God says the temptations are coming, but they're not going to overwhelm you. They're not, you know, it's not, He's not going to allow it. Because they're handpicked. He says, okay, devil, you can go so far. It's like with in Job. He says, okay, you can see my servant Job, and I won't go through the whole scenario, but God told Satan that you can afflict him. He says, just don't touch him. Well, you know, many things happened. His businesses were his farms, his agriculture was devastated. His servants, his family, he was in bad shape. And still, all the while, Job says, God gave, God takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's paraphrased, but that's so true. I can have great assurance knowing He knows my frame. He knows my name. He knows what I can endure. We need to stand on that promise, knowing that He'll give us the strength. And not only that, we see the third promise. They're not forever. For there is no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, that He will what? He will not suffer you to be tempted. He will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, what we just spoke about. but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you be able to bear it. It's not forever. He's giving you an avenue. There will be an avenue. There will be an escape. There will be a way out, if you so to speak. There was a friend of mine years back. We were in school together. And anyway, we had in regular classwork, we had verses and verses that we had to memorize. But he took it upon himself to memorize more so. And he used to come around different people and says, "Hey, I just memorized the book of Jude. You want to hear it?" Yeah, it's like, no. Well, most of the time, reason, and I got to think about it afterwards, because sometimes people were just rude to him. It was intimidating. It ended up, Brother Ken Jameson, he memorized the entire New Testament. And he was working on the Old Testament, the last I knew. He started because he used to play music in a rock and roll band. And when evil thoughts or some of that music would come back, I mean, he was into it. This is up in Washington, D.C. He was in some big band that toured the area. It was a local thing, but that's beside the point. Doesn't matter. Was still, he was under the influence of the devil until he got saved, until that, you know, slewfoot got evicted. So, but when those thoughts would come to mind, I'm going to tell you, it's very real. And it's very controlling. Anyway, when those thoughts would come to his mind, he would start quoting Scripture. That's why he started learning verses above and beyond what the rest of us had to do. He wasn't trying to show off. But he was doing it to combat what the influence, the temptations that were coming into his life. And the more he memorized, whoa, what was it displacing? All those evil thoughts. Yeah, by no means on the same scale as Ken Jameson. By no means. I wake up every morning with a different song, a different hymn on my heart and my mind. I know where God brought me from. And to allow me to be here tonight is by God's grace. He put a song in my heart. I know as I stand upon the promises of God that the temptations are going to come my way. I know that they're not going to be whacked out wild, last forever. And as, again, as Job says, blessed be the name of the Lord. God gives, God takes away, blessed be his name. Don't quit. Don't quit. God didn't quit on you. Don't quit on him. There was a mail order catalog. We used to get those things. They haven't caught up with us yet. You chuckle. Man, it's weird how we get mail that, things that we didn't want. And it has found our way down here. But anyway, it's a conspiracy. But there was a mail order catalog some years back that we got, and it was from one of the wife's many. It was none of mine, I could get on to Cabela's online. I didn't have to worry about catalog. But anyway, it was a stitchery catalog where you had different like cross stitch, needlework type thing, different patterns, what have you. She was doing that kind of stuff at that point. And I usually never went through, just thumb through a mail order catalog. That's not the highlight of my day. I don't care wherever I was. That just wasn't it. But I happened to be for some crazy reason. And there was one that particularly that attracted my attention. And it was this big, fat, grumpy cat sitting on a pillow with certain words under the, and writing underneath of it were these three phrases. I don't want to. I don't have to. I'm not going to. Now, that's just typical of a cat. I guarantee it. The wife has one. It is hers. Anyway. But I have personally used that in my life many, many times. Sin will come along. A temptation will come along in my life. Where I'll be confronted with the situation, and by God's grace, those three phrases will come to mind. It's like, I don't want to do that, or I don't want to think that, or I don't want to say that. Whatever, you fill in the blanks. I don't want to. I don't have to. And I'm not going to. Not putting any feather in my hat or patting on me on the back. But as a child of God, to bring honor and glory to Him. You know, it's not me. In chapter 12 of the book of 2 Corinthians, we know that His grace is sufficient. 12:9. His grace is sufficient. And His strength is made perfect in what? In our weakness. When we realize we can't do it in ourselves. He'll work through us. I couldn't say those things in my flesh. I know my flesh is all about. It's weak. But as I stand upon the promises of God, and I know that these temptations are coming along, God says, we can do it. You can do it by God's grace. As the book of Hebrews tells us that another of many, many promises in chapter 13, verse 5. The latter part of that verse says that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Friend, tonight, as we close, we know that temptations are coming. You need to have the full armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, the full armor of God, we need to put it on. We need to be vigilant. We know that the devil as a roaring lion is seeking whom he may devour. Don't be cat food. Don't turn yourself into cat food, knowingly or unknowingly. We know that what may come your way, it's not forever. It's not going to last. God will give you grace. God will sustain. And realizing that eternal decisions for the child, for maybe there's a person under the sound of my voice, it's not me, it's all God. But eternal decisions need to be made this side of eternity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the truths that we can glean from your word. And Lord, that even though we know temptations are going to come our way, but we know that your grace is sufficient. And we know that, dear God, that you will give us the strength. Help us to keep our eyes steadfast on Christ. I pray that you would go before us, protect us as we travel. God, help us to have the sensitivity as we meet people in our daily life to be a witness. Maybe we be the only decision, the only person, the only Bible, I should say, that they'll ever read. And I bring that it, but what they read will bring honor and glory to you and to point souls to Christ. Dismiss us by your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.